Good morning. In April, shortly after I took office, Dick Ravitch agreed to head a commission to study MTA's financing. He brings a rich expertise to the task, having really been the person most credited for saving the MTA 30 years ago. And coming back for command performance, he was no less effective than he was when he helped us back in the early 80s. He will now deliver the MTA Commission on Finances report, basically covering the capital plan and the operating budget. Dick, thanks so much for your service.
Governor, thank you very much.
And the stage is yours. Also, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The guy on the left is Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Well, I very much appreciate the opportunity to once again try to help the state of New York and this region, which I've been part of for 76 years. When the governor appointed this commission, none of us knew that the financial problems that we're now facing, which are of an enormity that nobody ever was able to predict, would be as great as they are and compound the very problems which the governor understood when he appointed the commission. I've been joined by a terrific group of people, three, four significant businessmen in this community, president of a distinguished university, the head of the state, AFL-CIO, few very experienced lawyers and experts in these kinds of public issues, and people who've had prior experience with the MTA. We had the benefit of two extraordinarily talented budget directors from both the city and the state who made enormous contributions to this process. And we worked with the help of some wonderful staff people at the MTA and in the governor's office, and recognizing that there remain a lot of details to be worked out, the conclusions we came to were essentially as follows. That the enormity of the operating deficit of the MTA would require a draconian fare increase and draconian service cuts this year, and that problem had to be addressed since those kinds of cuts could be ill afforded by the public. And second of all, that there should be some rational basis for dealing with fare increases in the future, and that the fare payer had to pay their fair share of the increase in the cost of running the system. We addressed the enormity of the capital needs. I don't think I have to spell out in any great detail for you all who've covered this subject that, as the mayor's report said on the year 2030 in the city, that the growth and prosperity of this city needs above all a healthy and growing and vibrant public transportation system. And in order to achieve that, in order to continue the state of good repair and the basic core program for our metropolitan transit systems, it requires a significant amount of capital. And as of today, there is not one hard dollar available for the MTA's next five-year capital plan, which will begin in 2010. We believe that in order to fund the capital both on a pay-as-you-go basis and on a borrowing basis, that there should be a regular recurring revenue stream that is inflation sensitive, that will reflect that an improved transit system will increase the number of riders, will add immeasurably to the prosperity of this region, and that those are the kinds of revenues that should be dedicated to finance the continued capital maintenance and capital growth of the public transportation system. We also believe that in the future, the reliance that has occurred since 2004, in which no new resources were utilized to pay for the cost of capital, only existing MTA operating revenues were used, that places an inordinate burden on the fare payer, and that in the future the capital ought to be paid for out of these revenue streams, which is why we have suggested the creation of a capital finance authority into which these revenues, which I'll describe in a minute, will be placed and will be used after the first year exclusively for capital purposes to rebuild this system. Given the enormity of the budget problem and the fare and service cut issue that I discussed, in year one, the proceeds of the tax will be utilized to defray a large part of the fare increase and a large part of the service cuts. At least that is the recommendation of the report. It's not for us to decide. It's for the MTA board to ultimately decide. But that's the purpose for it. It will also help deal with the enormity of the fiscal problems that the city and state and the surrounding counties in the MTA region face as well in year one of this system. The primary revenue that we're talking about is what we call a mobility tax. It's a payroll tax to be paid by the employer, not passed on to the employee, on every employer in this region, including the state itself and the MTA itself and nonprofits. It's 33 cents per $100, and it's as broad a base tax because everybody in this region, everybody who employs people in this region, is a beneficiary of this transit system. Remember, 80% of the people who come to the Central Business District come on via the MTA. We have also gave a lot of thought to the fact that that everybody who benefits by this system ought to make a contribution, including the automobile user. And we have suggested that as a revenue item and a public value to be added, that there be tolls on the current free bridges over both the Harlem River and the East River. We believe that that should happen if the resources are used to dramatically expand bus transportation in the region. And our recommendations in this regard link the two inexorably. We, as we took testimony, this commission, around the city and in the suburbs, the uniform problem that we heard about was the inadequacy of bus service. Both the city of New York, the Department of Transportation, and the MTA have devoted a lot of time and a lot of very constructive thinking to this. There are a lot of very exciting ideas about how to expand this, and we have proposed the creation of a regional bus authority that would absorb both the costs and the operations, if the county so wished it, of the current operations that are paid for either by contract through private bus operators or by MTA bus, where both the city and the counties are currently required to make significant dollar contributions to the cost of those services. There are enormous efficiencies to be realized. The growth of bus service has been really quite extraordinary. The inadequacy of the current system, I think, is known, particularly to all the people who are trying to get into Manhattan by express bus. And, again, this is not the occasion to go into more detail, but that is the thrust of the recommendation. The tolling would produce about $1 billion of revenue, about 600 of which would be net after all the expenses associated with it, and that would go to finance this significant expansion of the bus system. The mobility tax would produce at the current payroll levels in this region about $1.5 billion a year, which would make sure that the MTA had the ability to borrow money in the range of $30 to $35 billion over the next 5 years to ensure the continuity of the capital plan. Now, the significance of this is not just limited to the MTA itself. This is a major stimulus bill for New York State. At this moment in time, the number of projects that are being canceled and terminated because of inadequate financing is creating a major, or adding enormously to all the other problems that this financial crisis has imposed on everybody, but more acutely in New York than anywhere else. And this will put $30 to $35 billion in this economy. I think it would create somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 to $15 billion of wages at a time when there is nothing more critical for the people of this state. So perhaps one didn't need more than one good reason to do something, but this is an equally compelling reason at this point in time. The commission, I'm probably talking too long, Governor, forgive me, but the commission has also made some recommendations with respect to governance of the MTA, with respect to increasing transparency of what they do and how they do it, so that both the public and the legislature and the city of New York are fully aware of the decisions and the reasons for them, and the public has a fair understanding of the way things are being operated. I think that kind of summarizes the high points. I'd just like to say in conclusion that this all fits together. This is not a series of separable recommendations. This is an effort to spread the burden amongst the largest group that one possibly can, and that a recognition that, as I said in the beginning, and I want to reiterate, that the fair payer is going to have to pay their fair share. And we have recommended that in the future that the MTA board have the right to raise the fare no more than once every 2 years at the rate of inflation for that period of time, without public hearing. If they seek higher increases than that, they would have to go through the current public hearing process. This does not mean the public wouldn't have access to it, because the MTA board meetings are public. But I want to make clear that from my experience 30 years ago and all my successes experience, the political circus that surrounds the fare increase process and the inordinate and unhealthy pressure it puts on all the good people who run for political office produces distorted results. And we deferred fare increases in 2004 and 2007, and we're paying the price for that today. That is a contributing factor to the depth and gravity of the fiscal crisis that the MTA follows today. And we have to avoid this. We think the MTA should have the best talent that's available in this society, and we think it should have a stability in terms of its financing and a predictability in terms of its fair revenues. Governor, thank you.
Thank you. Obviously, it's clear from the chairman's presentation how important the functioning of our mass transit system has to be in this particular region. Now, Mayor Bloomberg, who's a very popular mayor, could have stepped aside and just gone to another endeavor during a fiscal crisis, but he's wants to stay here with us, and Mayor Bloomberg could have waited and just let this report come out and commented on it as an observer, but as usual, he is here with us and was part of the conversation, and we thank him for that. We're going to hear from him in just a second, but I want to point out that in order to conduct the business of this commission, there had to be apt consultation with business, with labor, with real estate, and with government. The commission met seven times. It had three public hearings. Its report will be dated December 5th, and I was briefed by the chairman, Mr. Ravitch, and will ask my counsel to draft legislation that would be appropriate to try to implement the findings in this report. Obviously, this is open to negotiation. We're going to need both houses of the legislature to cooperate with us. But I must reiterate to everybody here, these are tough times. Difficult choices are going to have to be made by legislators, by executives, and even by the riders and the drivers in the greater metropolitan area with respect to the MTA. The disincentivizing of the MTA, the reduction of expenditures in the 60s and the 70s created a problem for us back at that time. The ridership fell off by 17%, and the population in the region fell off by 5%. We don't want to repeat that error. And raising a fare 23% and having serious service reductions is going right back where we would have gone years ago and would create a dead economy through our MTA. Obviously, the MTA's the MTA's trains and buses and tunnels and bridges are the lifeblood of this region. It is the economic engine of our economy. And the best way for us to survive economically is to make sure that those elements that drive our finances actually survive. The current MTA capital plan has driven $29 billion in economic development in the area and $12 billion in wages. And so this gives you an idea of the enormity of this consequence. And so we're going to have to work together. We will talk to the legislative leaders, but we're going to have to come up with a plan. Obviously, these are tough choices. These are tough times. Had this been last year, you may have seen a completely different type of report. But please remember that the projected budget for this state has actually almost is now almost 2.5 times the size that it was that we believed it would be in April. And that has limited our ability to come in and be of assistance here. But we do think that with a holistic plan, as the chairman is discussing, one that actually asks all the stakeholders to participate in the continuing operation of these facilities at the MTA will actually be the answer. One of the country's leading experts on infrastructure and what would really be the stimulus of our economy as it's downgraded right now is Mayor Bloomberg, and I want to invite him to come to the microphone right now.
Governor, thank you for pointing out that I could have been elsewhere. So I could have, for example, gone to a Giants game. Probably safer here at the moment. Anyways, thank you for appointing me, and I just wanted to personally say thank you for addressing this issue and proactively doing something. And I don't think you could have put a study together, put a study in more capable hands than Dick Ravitch. I've known Dick for many years. We used to be neighbors till he moved out of my neighborhood. This is a guy who does understand the city. He understands the MTA. He understands the political process. He's got all of the pieces. And I just wanted to, Dick, thank you for your long and distinguished service to our city, but particularly this time coming in. I know you've got plenty of other things to do. It's a hard task. It's not necessarily a popular task, but it has to be done. And we all owe you a great debt of gratitude for taking on the task. As the governor said, mass transit is essential to our city. If it breaks down, so does our economy, so would our property values, and so would our quality of life. A safe and reliable mass transit system is also the key to realizing the greener, greater New York that we've envisioned in our Plan YC. And because the mass transit system is so intertwined with every aspect of city life, the fiscal crisis the MTA faces is something that we all do have a stake in solving. The problems that the commission worked to address have been building, as Dick said, for many years. During the good times, the MTA borrowed more than it could afford and relied on a housing bubble to finance its spending. Now the real estate transaction tax revenues have dried up. That hurts the state, that hurts the city, but it also hurts the MTA and puts the MTA actually in the same position as millions of homeowners, up to their ears in debt and needing assistance to stay afloat. But taxpayers and commuters should not be forced to bail out the authority without first winning reductions of the major fare increases and service cuts that the MTA has proposed and winning funding reforms that will help prevent these crises from recurring again and again. If you remember, nearly 2 years ago, we proposed one such reform, a plan that would have generated substantial revenue for the MTA. The governor and I strongly supported it, but we couldn't pass it through the state legislature. The legislature at that time stated that they could find other solutions to the MTA's longstanding fiscal imbalances, and I'm pleased to say today that the Ravage Commission is offering them more information and options. But it really is up to them to come up with solutions. After all, this is a democracy, and everybody has a right to be heard, and the legislature has to come up with something that does the greatest amount of good for the greatest number of people, even if everybody isn't happy with their solution. Our administration stands ready to assist the state in implementing these solutions. As you know, the city does not have control over the MTA, but we do have four appointees on the board, and we are going to make sure that our voices are heard, and we're going to work hard to achieve a real solution, one that's fair to city commuters and fair to taxpayers and solves the problem long term. There will be no quick fixes. There will be no painless solutions. People should come to understand that. But I do think that if everybody comes to the table, we can lessen the major fare hikes and service reductions currently being considered by the MTA, and we can adopt funding reforms that will allow us to avoid going through this again at next year and the year after and the year after that. Now is the time to begin making the hard decisions. It's not a good time to make hard decisions about the MTA. The state's going to have its problems, and the city, as you know, certainly does have its problems, as well does the country and the world. But we can't afford to kick these problems down the road any longer. To solve them, we will need every elected official to be part of the solution. That's what governing is all about, and that's what leadership is all about. So once again, I'd like to thank the governor for his leadership and the commission members for their hard work, especially Dick Ravage. Dick led the MTA through a crisis in the 1970s, and we appreciate his lending his knowledge and expertise to find solutions to the crisis that the authority finds itself in today. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Governor.
You.